Today's first reading is from Luke, and it's chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And you may find this on page 1045. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores things for himself, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And today's talk's broke.
And morning again, everybody. Are we all right today?
Yay.
Good. So this morning, it's an all-age kind of service. It's interactive. And so that means you joining in a bit. Is that okay? And let me pray for us as we consider God's word. Thank you, Richard, for reading for us as well. So yeah, let me pray. Father God, thank you for every part of your word, and not least this part from Luke this morning, these words of Jesus, this parable, showing us what life really is all about. And we pray as we consider it together, you would help us hear you speak to us today. Speak, O Lord, because your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are thinking about that the parable that Jesus told about the man with his barn. But before we get to that a little bit, what's going to make you happy today? If you could choose one or the other, you can't have both. So money or gadgets, hands up money. Hands up for gadgets. Yeah? Should we try again? You are allowed to put your hands up. Hands up for gadgets. Anyone for money? Yeah, a few for money, yeah. Gonna make us happy. Okay, Netflix or fresh air? You're an in kind of person or you're an out kind of person? So hands up Netflix. Yeah, a few Netflix. Fresh air? Oh, good, good, good. Sweets or chocolate? It's a big decision, isn't it? Do you like the candy or is it the chocolate that hits the mark? So hands up for sweets. Gonna make you happy. Chocolate? Oh, clearly carried. Yes, the chocolate wins the day. Excellent. Friends or foods? Do we want to have friends around us or are we going to go for that meal? What's going to make me most happy? Is it that huge beef burger? Or is it the friends? Hands up for friends. Yeah. Food? Not many, one or two. Excellent. And that is fantastic. We think about, oh, what's going to make me happy today? And we make a plan to get it, don't we? We do those things and we treat ourselves and we think that's great. So Jesus met this man one day. He was a man who thought that actually having a lot of money would be the thing that would make him happy. You see, his parents had died, left an inheritance to his older brother, and he thought, if I could just get my hands on that money, then my life would be sorted. I would be like made for life. His money would make him happy. It would provide for him. It would guarantee his future. It would give him security. And it would give him all the comfort that he needs right now. And hopefully, he thought onto his old age. And so it comes out with that question. He asks the Lord Jesus one day, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." As in, "Jesus, do you mind just sorting this out? We've got this little family thing going on. If you don't mind coming to sort it out for me, that would be great." But the thing is, Jesus didn't do as the man asked. Instead, he told the man a story. He told him a parable to help him think, to make a point, to help him think. And he tells the story about this farmer, the rich man, who had a barn. Now, we're going to call him this morning Foolish Farmer Freddy, okay? Foolish Farmer Freddy, all the F's. Here he is, and looking quite pleased with himself there. You see, Foolish Farmer Freddy, he'd been working really hard in his fields in the springtime. He'd been out planting crops everywhere, every square inch of his property. He'd put seeds everywhere, over here and over there and everywhere else in between. And they had just the right amount of sunshine. They had just the right amount of rain. And so, you know, the autumn comes along and it's harvest time and the crops are everywhere. He's never seen such a bumper harvest. It's the hugest harvest he had ever seen. And so he and his friends, they start to gather it in. Got a helper? Somebody want to come and help me just gather in a bit of harvest today? Don't be shy. Come and join me. You see, we don't have corn. What we've got is representing corn, these little bags of bits and pieces. And there are a few of them around. Claire, come and give us a hand. Because maybe our Foolish Farmer Freddy, he was doing his harvest. So can you harvest some of the things? We've put them in the barn over here. There we go. And that's that one there. Good. Okay. We're slightly running out of space already, which is awkward, because we've had a really bumper harvest this year. And so try as he might, Foolish Farmer Freddy, he'd been so... Oh, there's more over there. There's more over there, look. Can you get those? Oh. You fetch those. Try as he might, the harvest was too big for the barn, you see. It was just trying to close it up for the winter. And it just wouldn't go. Got a problem, haven't we? What are we going to do? What is he going to do? Verse 18 of our reading today. "This is what I'll do," he says. "I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." Okay, tear down the barn. Here we go. Claire might need a hand again, sorry. Okay, just like, don't need that anymore. Need a bigger barn, that's what we need. There we go. That's what we need, you see. Little barn's just not up to it, is it? We need a big barn. So, can we get some of this in here now? There we go. One or two in there. Excellent. Brilliant. Look. In we go. And then came to the winter, and we can be all nice and safe and secure. The barn is full, and we can be happy and comfortable. How did it get so full? Well, because God had blessed the harvest, hadn't he? Remember how Freddie, he'd done all the sowing of the corn, and then many months later, he'd done the harvesting of the corn, but the bit in between, God did that. Freddy planted and he harvested, but God made it grow. God blessed the harvest in abundance. And so it wasn't down to him at all, his success. But you see, in the process, he's he's now got himself a bit proud and a bit self-reliant, hasn't he? He's thinking, look, my barn, whoa. Love a barn like that, wouldn't you? And he's sort of got, people have got barn envy, I guess, when they see his big barn. He's got all his stuff and he doesn't want anyone else to have it. And I guess you're probably asking yourself, okay, why did Jesus tell a story like that? Well, he tells us right at the beginning of the reading, when he replies to the man, he says, watch out, says Jesus, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because a person's life doesn't consist in the abundance of their possessions. Your life is not about your stuff, in other words. Your life is about much more than just your stuff. We're really good, aren't we, at running after things that we think will make us happy and sticking them in the barn, either for today or for tomorrow or for some other time in the future. We love the things that make our lives easy and comfortable. We like a big barn because it makes us feel secure. And it says, this is your future. It's all sorted. I wonder if you had a barn like that, what would you be tucking away for a rainy day? But you see, the problem with storing up stuff for ourselves, it doesn't leave any room for God to do his work in our lives. Because in the end, God wants to be our provider. He wants to be our future. He wants to be our security. He wants to provide our comfort. And he can't do that if we're looking somewhere else for all of those things, somewhere other than God. So how does the story, the little parable, end this morning? Well, Jesus in the story, he says to the rich man, you fool. And that's not words to take lightly when they come from the lips of Jesus. You've been storing up stuff for yourself and not given God a second thought. You've set up your barn where God ought to be in your life. And I guess that's what Farmer Freddy needed to learn. What the man talking to Jesus that day needed to learn is actually his life didn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. What he really needed was not the inheritance. What he really needed was God in his life. Jesus didn't come along simply to make us a bit more comfortable or make our lives a bit better or for us to feel good in his presence. You know, Jesus came along to be our life. He came to be our provider. He came to be our future, our security, our comfort, even in the tough days. And so in the end, Jesus wasn't after this man's money. What he was trying to get hold of was this man's heart. He's saying, look, I've got something better than your inheritance to offer you. I've got me. Have me. And then everything will be okay. The Christian leader, theologian Martin Luther, he was reflecting on these things. And as he thought about what he'd got now and what he'd got in the future with God, he said, I wouldn't give up one moment of heaven for all the joys and riches of the world. You see, here was a man who could see beyond the here and now. Now, don't fill your life with possessions and property, says Jesus, fill your life with me. What was the man in the stories? What was his mistake? Well, he wasn't rich towards God. That's the conclusion, isn't it? He'd been blessed with a huge harvest, and yet he'd gathered it in all for him. He didn't want to share, didn't want to give it away, put all his hope in the here and now, and was very proud of his barn. Don't fill your life with property and possessions and money and stuff. Don't think that's the be-all and end-all, because if you do that, you might just miss out on having God right where he ought to be. We're going to press pause just there, and we'll continue our little talk in a few minutes' time. Back to Claire now to introduce our next little bit.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 1 to 15.
There it is, yes, oh. That's wrong. Don't worry about that. Forget the slide.
Oh, shall I carry on with?
Yeah, carry on with one.
Oh, sorry.
Huh?
On page 1163, 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 1 to 15. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well,
okay, so yes. Looking onto part two just now. And of course, foolish farmer Freddie has raised questions for us, hasn't he? Because perhaps we recognise in our own lives that actually sometimes we do this as well. I'm guessing that's why Jesus told the parable in the first place, is to sort of bring these things to light. But fortunately, in 2 Corinthians this morning, we find a resolution of the problem of storing up stuff for ourselves. And what the Apostle Paul wants to encourage us with this morning. The opposite of storing up, actually, is to sow generously. That is the... I just need the clicker. Sowing generously, that is the thing we do instead. Now, remember how Paul is writing this letter in to Corinth to encourage the church there to be as generous as all the other churches around and about. And we looked last week, didn't we, at the church in Macedonia that was very poor. They didn't have a lot of money, but they surprised themselves, and they certainly surprised Paul with the generous gift that they were able to collect between them. And Paul knows that all of us need a little bit of help and encouragement along the way. And so what he's doing is saying to the folks in Corinth, saying, have a look at those folks in Macedonia and see how wonderfully generous they were able to be. And now think about yourselves, your church community there. Why don't you follow their lead, follow their example, and go with God in this? And his word of encouragement really comes in the middle of our reading. It's verse number 6. And he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Every man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, these words do come as an encouragement. They're not here as a rebuke or a telling off. They are an enabling encouragement. And we were remembering about, yes, the folks in Macedonia as a wonderful example, very, very poor and yet so very rich in Jesus. They were generous-hearted. So, Paul wants to do some of that now in Corinth. So generously with what you have, and you will also reap generously. But that sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? Because we are so very attached to the things we've already got. We like to get more, but we're also attached to the things we've already got. What about my security? What about my future? Don't I need to think about that? What about my provision? What about my comfort for today and for the days ahead? I think Paul is encouraging here the folks to sort of change their mind about where their security lay. Not in the big barn of stuff, but in the big God who is a great provider. Giving out, you see, not gathering in. Emptying out the barn that we've got so used to relying on so that we can rely on God instead. That whole idea of emptying out, it was in our creed this morning, but we also saw it last week, chapter 8 and verse 9, if you've got your Bible there. Paul said previously, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. See, Jesus was the richest person ever. He had all the riches of heaven in his hands, and yet he came to earth and made himself incredibly poor. He emptied himself, we read in Philippians. That was the bit that was picked up in the creed this morning. He emptied himself so that you might become rich in him. He died in your place for your sin. And when we come to follow Jesus, we don't just benefit from his forgiveness and his righteousness and his restoration. We benefit from all those riches of heaven and now ours as well. We are incredibly rich as followers of Jesus because he has made us rich in him. All the heavens' riches are now us. And we can sort of ask ourselves, who needs a barn full of stuff when you've got all the riches of heaven at your disposal? But of course, it doesn't work like that all the time. What does this look like in real life? What do I do with my stuff that I've been so resting upon? Well, that's where this change of mind comes along. Because Paul is encouraging that you don't need to trust in that when you have a God who is going to provide for you. And so you can sow generously with your kindness by finding ways to be kind to other people. Going around in your life, in your work, in whatever, sowing seeds of kindness. Who could you bless with kindness this week? Whose life could you change through you being there for them? Similarly, with goodness, we could do good for others, some good work for them perhaps. Who could we bless by going around in our life, in our work, and blessing them in Jesus' name with something? Maybe just spending some time with them. Maybe running an errand for them. Sowing generously with what we have and learning to bless people with our stuff, our possessions, our time. Learning to share. If I've got one of those things, then, well, you don't need one as well. You can borrow mine. And then we can learn to share. What could we share this week? And, of course, it does also impact our financial resources too. sowing generously with our money, investing in things of God's kingdom, whatever they might be, supporting perhaps a mission partner, supporting the local church, supporting other Christian needs that we know about, giving away rather than storing up. It's so tempting to keep the stuff in the barn, think I might need that one day. Or perhaps there's an opportunity to help and to bless. You see, the point is, with God's help, we can get to a place where actually we're glad to give the stuff away. We don't really need it at all. We can do it cheerfully. That's what Paul is aiming at here. God loves a cheerful giver. That's what he wants for us. Over time, I guess we'll come to see that we didn't need that big barn after all. You see, if I were to think, well, I could probably lose some of this stuff. I don't need all of it, that's for sure. I could bless a few other people. Claire, be blessed with the goodness of God. Cyril, be blessed with the goodness of God. You see, you could just give it away. And you don't really need all of it. You need some of it. Of course we do. But no, be blessed with the goodness of God. Richard, be blessed with the goodness of God. There we are. And you see, I have freedom just to do that. And I've still got loads myself. And I'm happy because, look, my friends are happy now because they're blessed with the goodness of God. Do you see how it works? And in the end, I could probably have kept my little barn, couldn't I? Because I don't need the big one anymore. Because my little barn would be just as good. You see, Jesus, he didn't come along just to make your life a little bit better. He didn't come along to improve your prospects or your chances in life or to make you feel a little bit more comfortable in the here and now. He came for your today and your eternity. He came to be your life. He came to be your provider, your future. He is your security. He is your comfort even in the very worst of times. And with Jesus as Lord and King in our lives, we can learn the truth of this particular word. Sowing generously is a wonderfully blessed thing to do. And we can have confidence that our God will provide for our every need because he is a God who gives and gives and gives. So as we close this morning on our Harvest Sunday and Gift Day, let me pray for us. Generous God, thank you for all your many, many gifts to us. We are sorry, Lord, when we store up stuff for ourselves, but we pray that you'd help us by faith change our minds about you. Show us that you are the great provider. You are our security. You are our comfort and our future. All things are in your hands. Help us be those who sow generously and might reap generously also, giving cheerfully because Jesus, he came emptying himself for you and for me. And so we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.